I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. The last minor party candidate to be elected in the United States nationally was Abraham Lincoln in 1860, whose nascent Republican Party had broken away from the Whigs a few years earlier. Now, for the first time in at least 25 years, two-thirds of voters, reflecting deep dissatisfaction with Democrats and Republicans, think a third party is needed to adequately represent the American electorate. Today on Midday, three candidates running out of the box and in the election that takes place in 6 weeks. David Lasher, a Libertarian running for Congress, Ian Schlachman, the Green Party candidate for governor, and Neil Simon, an independent running for the U.S. Senate, join me in Studio A as our series of conversations with the candidates continues when Midday starts right after the news. Good afternoon and welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for hanging with us this afternoon. Today, we continue our series of conversations with the candidates, with three people who will be on the ballot in November who are neither Democrats nor Republicans. The Democracy Fund Voter Study Group reports that for the first time in at least 25 years, two-thirds of Americans see the need for a third party. This support for alternatives to Democrats and Republicans grows out of dissatisfaction with what many see as a dysfunctional two-party system. But as to which third party that should be, or if there should be more than one, there is much less consensus. Today, we'll talk to an independent, a libertarian, and a member of the Green Party about the reasons behind their candidacies and their views on the future of third parties moving forward. Joining me in Studio A, David Lasher. He's a libertarian running for Congress in Maryland's 3rd District. His opponents are the Democratic incumbent, Congressman John Sarbanes, and a Republican, Charles Anthony. Mr. Lasher is an IT executive and turnaround specialist who most recently held top managerial positions in Maryland's health department. Former Republican, he joined the Hogan administration 2.5 years ago and resigned in June to become a full-time candidate. Mr. Lasher is 55 years old. He and his wife, Margaret, and their young daughter live in Annapolis. This is his first run for public office. Mr. Lasher, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Tom.
Ian Schlachman is the Green Party candidate for governor. In 2016, he ran for Baltimore City Council, and in 2014, he ran for Congress. His opponents are the incumbent Republican Larry Hogan and the Democrat former NAACP President Ben Jealous. Mr. Schlachman has started a couple of tech consulting companies, including one that provides technological support to some Baltimore City schools, and he was a founding organizer of the Baltimore B-Note, which allowed people to participate in the local economy without relying on the U.S. dollar. He is 33. He and his wife, Vanessa, live here in Baltimore. Mr. Schlachman, welcome to you as well.
Thanks for having me.
Neil Simon is an independent candidate running for the U.S. Senate seat now held by Democrat Ben Cardin. The Republican in that race is Tony Campbell. Mr. Simon is the CEO of the Rockville-based investment firm Bronfman Rothschild and the chairman of the board of the Greater Washington Community Foundation. He is 50 years old. He and his wife Jennifer live in Potomac. He's a former registered Democrat who is now unaffiliated with any party. Mr. Simon, good to meet you as well, sir.
Good to be here.
And listeners, you are welcome to join us to talk about these candidates and their races or to talk about third parties in general. Our number here at Midday, it's different than the number that you call to make a pledge to the pledge drive. It's 410-662-8780, our email midday@wypr.org, to drop us a tweet @MiddayWYPR. You can also catch us on the WYPR Facebook page. Mr. Simon, let me start with you. There are two independents currently serving in the Senate, Angus King from Maine and Bernie Sanders from Vermont. There are four parties recognized in the state of Maryland at the moment, the Democrats, the Republicans, the Green Party, and the Libertarian Party. Independent is not recognized as an official party. What is your understanding of your own affiliation and what you're trying to achieve with this run for office? And should independent be a party that's recognized in the way that Green parties and Libertarians are, for example?
So thanks for having me. I am running for the U.S. Senate, and I'm doing it as an independent. And what that means is I'm not part of a party. And I think it's important for everyone to understand that there are no political parties in our Constitution. There are no political parties in the Declaration of Independence. In fact, our founding fathers, many of them feared that Americans would one day develop more loyalty to parties than they had to our country. And I think what we need in our legislative branch of government are representatives who are putting the people ahead of politics, who are putting their constituents' interests ahead of any partisan interests. And so many people in this country today feel like they look at our government and they hear partisan narratives and they hear two teams trying to beat each other, a red team and a blue team going to work every day, trying to beat the other one, trying to win arguments, trying to win the news cycle, trying to win elections, trying to raise money. And they wonder who is representing them anymore. And so I want to represent the bulk of Americans who don't identify with the far left or the far right, but feel like they're unrepresented today.
And in what way is it not possible to do that as a centrist candidate, member of either the Democratic or Republican Party?
So I think there are a lot of good people who run for office with good intentions as a Democrat or as a Republican. And then they go to Capitol Hill and they become part of the system and they become used to being part of a party infrastructure where their elections are funded by a party, where they're asked to vote a certain way by a party. My opponent, Ben Cardin, has voted with the majority leader, or the minority leader now, Chuck Schumer of the Senate, 97% of the times. If you take out a couple of minor votes, it's 99%. Is that really in the best interest of Maryland on every one of those votes, or is it in the best interest of the Democratic Party? And we see that on both sides of the aisle. There are 12 states where you have one senator from each party, and on almost every issue, they're voting party line rather than with their constituents. They represent the same exact people, but they're voting in opposite directions on almost everything. Our government has been paralyzed by partisanship. It's dividing us as a society, and we all know we can do better than this.
And David Lasher, you're a former Republican, worked in the Hogan administration. Mr. Hogan is one himself who has done his best to distance himself from the current leadership of the Republican Party, particularly the president. It seems that your dissatisfaction with the Republican Party in particular inspired you to run as a libertarian. What does that mean in this day and age, libertarian?
Libertarian? The two core values are that libertarians respect the dignity and the sanctity of the individual versus the collective, and then seek accountability from all authorities, whether government, big corporations, or big labor. What those principles mean in terms of politics is, Neil was just talking about the broad middle. I think the modern Libertarian Party is appealing to that part of the electorate, those who will, like me, are socially tolerant, fiscally responsible, fed up with the appalling divisiveness and partisanship in D.C. That's the modern Libertarian Party.
These sort of guiding principles, things like liberty, accountability, justice, prosperity. It seems to me that any Democrat or Republican sitting in the seat you're sitting in would also heartily endorse all of those notions. What makes the Libertarian endorsement of those kinds of concepts any different than the current two big parties?
I think that it has become different over the last 15 or 20 years. I think the Republican Party, I don't actually know at the national level what the Republican Party stands for, certainly not accountability. Right? I think that when we look at the progressive left, they talk about justice, but they don't balance it with liberty and sustainable prosperity. Right? And so the difference with the libertarians, I would submit, is that it's a balance of all of those values, trying to progress on all four of those fronts sustainably over time, year by year, generation by generation.
And Ian Schlachman, you've run for office a couple of other times, local offices, city council, and all that kind of stuff. There is one Green Party candidate who's currently serving in the city administration. She's with the Department of Housing. Her name is Reverend Annie Chambers, and she's a close friend of yours, and you helped her achieve that office, as a matter of fact.
That's right.
But tell me what it is about the Green Party that should attract the interest of voters as opposed to Democrats and Republicans.
Sure. And just to add, actually, that Reverend Annie Chambers, formerly Annie Rogers, for those of you that might know her back in the day, is actually my running mate. She is the lieutenant governor candidate for the Green Party this time around. So the Green Party is traditionally known as a party that focuses on ecological wisdom. It's part of our 10 key values. But we have expanded that quite a bit over the last couple of years. We've been around since 2000, so we're about an 18-year-old party. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to make sure that people that feel like they are not represented by the two main parties have a place to vote. So we're going after voters that are non-traditional. So we're talking about knocking on doors in public housing projects. We're talking to young people right out of college that are straddled with student loan debt. We're talking to people that are working class trying to get by a 9-to-5 job. You know, when you go to run for office, and I'm sure the other two candidates would agree, consultants will tell you right away, focus on super voters. Focus on that middle income, down the road person, knock on their door, get their vote. Everyone else, you know, people that are homeless, people that are trans, and people that are struggling in their day job, don't have time to vote, don't worry about them. We want to be that third option for the people that feel like they're underrepresented because, frankly, they're not getting any attention from the other two parties.
And Neil Simon, a friend of mine, Ralph Moore, is a civil rights activist here in Baltimore, once made a statement that I thought deserved scrutiny. And he said, when it comes to voting, voting is a chess move. It's not a Valentine. So for a voter who says, here's a guy who wants to be independent of these two major parties, that may even be a position and a philosophy that I wholeheartedly endorse. However, when it comes to effectiveness, when it comes to reflecting my values in legislation, a person who is isolated, one of only three independents in the Senate, if you were elected, and certainly one of those independents, Mr. Sanders from Vermont, is very closely associated with the Democratic Party, ran as a Democrat for president. All right, and they come from places, Vermont and Maine, that perhaps have a little bit more of an independent streak electorally than a state like Maryland. How do you respond to that notion that, as a practical matter, voting for an independent is not going to get you anywhere?
So first, the two independents in the United States Senate today both caucus with the Democratic Party.
Right.
I would not caucus with either party. I would caucus with the people of Maryland. The parties argue that you have to caucus with one party or the other. It's not true. We've had lawyers look at this. I've talked to a former Senate parliamentarian. It would potentially give Maryland the most powerful U.S. Senate seat that exists, because on every issue, everyone in the Senate has to come to me and find out where I stand and want our vote, rather than just assume I'm part of a Democratic bloc or Republican bloc, which is the way things work today. The leaders lead, followers like our senators follow. And we could potentially have the most influential bloc. In terms of the way you vote, I will tell you that we are running an unbelievable campaign. And I've talked to tens of thousands of people in Maryland at this point, and we're embraced with so much enthusiasm. People are tired of the divisiveness and the partisanship. We've received hundreds and hundreds of financial donations. We've actually outraised Senator Cardin year to date. We've outraised the Republican by many, many times. A lot of your viewers, I'm sure, have seen our commercials up on television, and we have a chance to have the most powerful Senate seat in the U.S. Senate.
And Mr. Lasher, as a libertarian, it strikes me that it's interesting in this era of great political bifurcation, where we've got, you know, the two sides, perhaps further apart than they've been since the 19th century, that the libertarian notion is not necessarily to bring everybody together. The libertarian notion might be it's every person for himself, you know, that you should not worry about the collective body politic, that the government should simply serve individuals. Is there are they reckoned in a way for you that perhaps they're not reckoned for me?
Tom, I'd take an issue with the way you characterized it, right? If that was the Libertarian Party today, I wouldn't have come to it, right? The modern Libertarian Party is not about anarchism and everybody for themselves, a Malthusian kind of world. It's about how can we make our community better? How can we ensure that we are free and prosperous and have justice? And it boils down to skepticism about government, limited government, accountable government, but not no government. Right? It's just making sure that we get from government the results that we expected when we passed any given bill. That's where the pragmatic libertarians like myself come from and what we seek to do.
David Lasher is a libertarian running for Congress in the 3rd District. Neil Simon is an independent candidate running for the United States Senate. And Ian Schlachman is the Green Party candidate for governor. You can join our conversation in a little bit. 410-662-8780. That's the midday number. That's not the pledge drive number. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @midday_WYPR. You can also catch us on the WYPR Facebook page where we are streaming. But first, it is our fall membership campaign, and we're going to take a couple of minutes to talk about how you can be part of it. Thanks, Andy, and thanks again to everybody who has contributed in this fall membership campaign. We are very grateful. Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow on our program, Fox News analyst Juan Williams will join me to discuss his latest book. It's called What the Hell Do You Have to Lose? Trump's War on Civil Rights. That's coming up tomorrow on Midday. If you're just joining us today, we're talking with three candidates about the future of third parties in American politics and their campaigns. Neil Simon is an independent candidate running for the U.S. Senate seat, now held by Democrat Ben Cardin. David Lasher is a Libertarian running for Congress against Democratic incumbent John Sarbanes. Ian Schlachman is the Green Party candidate for governor. He's running against incumbent Larry Hogan and the Democrat Ben Jealous. You are welcome to join our conversation here on Midday. And again, the phone number, a different number than the one you call to make your pledge, 410-662-8780. To drop us an email, midday@wypr.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Midday WIPR. We are also streaming on the WIPR Facebook page. Ian Schlachman, when it comes to the Green Party in this election, it's crucial for a number of reasons, one of which is in order for parties to be placed on the ballot in the subsequent election, they've got to poll at a certain level. Right now, you are polling at 1% in the governor's race. Mr. Hogan, of course, leads Mr. Jealous by some 20 points, according to the latest Goucher poll. So this is this election really a matter of, on a certain level, survival for the Green Party when it comes to moving ahead in the electoral process?
Yes, it is. I'm very glad that you brought this up, actually. I do want to just say that also on the ballot is Sean Quinn, Libertarian, as well. Just to put that out there. As we do have four parties in the state. We absolutely need 1% to stay on the ballot. And what that means is if we don't get 1% in this governor's race, we will potentially be off the ballot, all Green Party candidates, down ticket to the city council, all the way up to governor or Senate. And this is a major problem for us. And we don't like this rule. We didn't write this law. The Democrats and Republicans have written this law that basically said the governor's race, not the Senate, not other statewide races, not a down ticket race. The governor's race decides whether or not we as a Green Party get to stay on the ballot. And the other minor parties, such as the Libertarians, have to play by this rule as well. If we have someone in office, we are running state delegate candidates. We are running candidates up and down the ballot. We have 25 candidates up and down the ballot throughout the state, from city council all the way up to governor. And if we win, we do intend to change that law. And right now, we're just forced to, you know, lobby Democrats and Republicans and see if they'll change the law for us.
And Neil Simon, quickly, let me check with you. That is not the case for independents, right?
No, and I think an important distinction is that I am not part of a party. I am part of a movement. I'm part of a movement of Republicans, Democrats, and independents who are all fed up with the bad results that we get from our government.
But you can get on the ballot by simply paying the fee and putting your name in there.
We have to pay a fee and put our name in there, and then we have to do something really difficult. We have to get 10,000 verified signatures to get on the ballot. So we submitted 17,000 signatures. It included the signature of our governor and lieutenant governor. And that's the main thing we have to do to get on the ballot.
And there was another party, a socialist party, called the Bread and Roses Party, that attempted to be on the ballot, and they fell short, evidently, according to the courts just this month. They needed 10,000 signatures, and they came up a little short. Let's go to the phones. Evan in Abingdon, welcome to Midday with our three candidates. Thanks for calling.
Hello. I wanted to ask a question about any plans the candidates had for alternative voting systems, make it easier for third-party candidates to get elected, like ranked choice voting.
All right, thanks for that call. Ranked voting, this is something that Maine has adopted, a couple of other places. Ranked voting doesn't have a winner and a loser. It has 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Right, so the two parties have done a lot to benefit the extremes of the two parties. And I call for political reform of different types. The first, what we're talking about here, is electoral reform, and I fully support ranked choice voting. It's a system that would give non-major party candidates a better chance to win, so give more people a chance to actually be represented. I think we also need to do away with gerrymandering, where the parties alter the shapes of districts to benefit the extremes. We also need to open primaries. It is absolutely unfair that people like me, independents like me, cannot participate in taxpayer-funded primaries. We also need campaign finance reform, a lot of which has been resisted by both parties. And there are other rules we need to change as well. So all of those things together contribute to this bitter partisanship we have in our government today.
And David Lasher, how about you when it comes to electoral reform? What are the areas that strike you as the most important?
I think when it comes to ballot access, we need to expand the national conversation from access for individuals, which I support, to access for parties so that there are more choices at the election booth on election day. The gathering of the signatures is expensive, time-consuming. The Libertarian Party, for the first time ever, is now going to be have its presidential candidates in 2020 on the ballot in all 50 states. But
it looks like Bill Weld, the former governor of Massachusetts, is going to be the Libertarian candidate if the prognosticators are correct.
He is one of the candidates with his hat in the ring, along with a few others. It's, of course, way too early to say who's going to be.
Here I am, jumping to conclusions again. David Lasher is running for Congress as a Libertarian. Neil Simon is an independent. He's running for the Senate. And Ian Schlachman is a Green Party candidate for governor. Our number here at Midday, again, different than the number you use for the pledge drive, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. You can drop us a tweet at @MiddayWIPR. You can catch us on the WIPR Facebook page. So, Ian Schlachman, in terms of electoral reform, there's one movement, for example, it's called the National Popular Vote Compact, which says that whichever candidate wins the majority of the votes in the majority of the popular vote nationwide, that state, all states who agree to this compact, would cast their electoral votes in the Electoral College for that candidate, whether or not she won in that particular state. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, doing away with the Electoral College is definitely an interesting idea, and I think it needs to be modernized no matter what. But Green Party has been calling for instant runoff voting and ranked choice voting forever because we understand that people are having a tough time. They're used to a two-party system. And ranked choice voting would just be one of the ways to make sure that this so-called spoiler argument doesn't bother third-party candidates anymore.
Let's go to the phones. Before we do, I want to relay a comment from Bob on Facebook. What do the candidates think about the job Governor Hogan is doing? Anybody want to weigh in on that? Mr. Schlachman, you're running directly against him. What do you think?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I should probably start with this one. So essentially, we in our campaign are looking at abolishing poverty in Maryland in one generation. Maryland is the richest state in the union, and we feel that Governor Hogan could be doing a lot more in that front. We're calling for a basic income guarantee. We're calling for a jobs guarantee, and we're calling for a complete reset of the Baltimore City Police Department, which is actually a state-run agency. Governor Hogan has the power to pull the trigger on a lot of these things right away, especially when it comes to the Baltimore City Police Department. He's not. He's simply derelict in his duty when it comes to catering to poor issues in the state. Richest state in the union, we could be doing a lot more for our poorest citizens.
All right, David Lasher, the congressional delegation certainly works very closely with the governor as well as mayors in all of our major cities here in Maryland.
And I worked for the governor for 2.5 years.
You know him.
Yes. Well, I know his team. And what I would say is that Governor Hogan's accomplishments are actually underappreciated when it comes to what he's been able to do with the government, the economy and the budget. It's very difficult working with the General Assembly. And the other thing that is underappreciated about what Governor Hogan has done is that he brought in talented professionals into the administrations who were people like me, who are operationally focused, technology focused, so that the agencies could do more with the same or less amount of money. So I think Governor Hogan has done a good job. I also, of course, would like to see him more libertarian-ish in some of his policies and have people looking at Sean Quinn, our gubernatorial candidate.
Mm-hmm. And Neil Simon, you're a former Democrat. What did you think of the debate last night? And are you endorsing any candidate in the governor's race?
So I also think Governor Hogan's done a good job. And we're in a state that we all know is majority Democrat, but yet he's the most popular governor in the country, over a 70% approval rating. So you have to ask
Second most popular.
I think it might
the guy in Massachusetts, Charlie Baker, is a little bit ahead.
He's an extremely popular
yes,
governor.
Yes,
so you have to ask yourself the question, why is that? And I think it's because he's viewed as a uniter, and we're starved for people who bring us together. He's worked effectively with the Democrats in our state legislature. He's chosen not to fight battles where we're going to get nothing done. And I think in a way, our state government is a role model for what we need in the federal government right now, where we have divisiveness and partisanship and stalemate on almost every issue.
KC on Facebook Live says the current two-party system has enormous infrastructure for outreach, voting lists, background demographics on voters, and funding. How do candidates running parallel to this system, particularly the Green Party, facilitate outreach? Ian.
Yeah, sure. I just want to add, though, that I think Governor Hogan has been doing a terrible job, to be frank with you. I just want to throw that out there. He's seen as an independent because we don't have a clear independent voice coming from the other two parties, and you're never going to. They're in power no matter what happens. It's either Democrat or Republican. So it's time to change the game. We need more third parties in there and independents. Just to answer that question, there's so much infrastructure in the state. So if you pay taxes in Maryland, like all of us do, your money goes to pay for the state primaries of the Democrats and Republicans. They don't go for the Libertarian Party. Independents never see a dime of that money. We have to throw our own self-funded primary in the Green Party. And people always ask us, well, why were you on the primary ballot? When do I get to vote for you? Why don't I get to vote for you in June? Well, it's because we're not on the ballot. And it's absolutely atrocious that state money is being spent on the Democratic Party in the state. So it's time to change it.
And Neil Simon, let me explore that a little bit, because I hear a lot of independents say that it's unfair that a registered independent can't vote in either the Democrat or Republican primaries. However, those two political parties exist and they have members. And shouldn't it be that the members of those parties decide who their nominees are going to be? What is unfair about excluding somebody who's not a member of the party?
It's unfair because I pay for it. If those are private organizations that are choosing their own leaders, let them pay for it, and then I don't need to vote in it. But if I'm being asked to pay for those primaries, me as an independent voter, then I should be allowed to vote in it.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the phones. If I could see the phone list there. Joseph in Baltimore, welcome to Midday. Thanks for calling, sir.
Thank you, Tom. I have a question specifically for the libertarian gentleman. I'm sorry, I forget your name.
But David Lasher.
A little more detail on the comment you made and to the question that Tom asked you regarding the collective social benefit versus the individual aspect. As someone who has at times had a bit of alignment with the Libertarian Party, and I've seen some value to the position, I feel like at times from a conceptual aspect, there's a little bit of fault that I find in it, in which there does seem to be this aspect of pure individualization and government shouldn't be involved in helping social causes. But when I look at someone as a black man, and I see wide and rampant social injustice and disparities within the terms of equity, I'm concerned because it does feel like those people are going to be forgotten. And I look at my family, I see situations for myself, and I'm going, well, you can't just have individualization because that can sometimes come from a very high space of privilege. So I'd like a little more detail from you about what you mean when you say, well, we're not going to forget everyone, but what does that mean? What
All right,
types
great.
Of programs and what types of things do you all support?
All right, appreciate the call, Joseph. Thanks. David Lasher.
So the key is to make sure that programs that are aimed at social conditions, we can even call it social justice, that they remember that the people we're trying to help are individuals. We don't want to give them handouts. We don't want to treat them with broad strokes. We want to treat them as individuals. We want to recognize their dignity. We want to help them achieve independence. How do we do that? We do that not by abolishing all the programs in government, though there are some libertarians that would say something like that. They're a minor voice in the party these days. It's about emphasizing family. It's about emphasizing education. It's about creating work incentives and helping people achieve independence so that they can be responsible for themselves and for those whom they love.
David Lasher is a libertarian running for Congress. Ian Schlachman is the Green Party candidate for governor. Neil Simon is an independent candidate running for the U.S. Senate. I'm Tom Hall. You're listening to Midday. They all join me here in Studio A. You are welcome to join us as well. 410-662-8780. Our email midday@wypr.org to drop us a tweet @MiddayWYPR. You can also catch us on the WYPR Facebook page. We're going to take a minute now to give you another phone number, a phone number that you can call to show your support for WYPR and the public radio programming you hear day in and day out, and to give you that magical number. Mr. Andy. Welcome back. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Today is U.S. Voter Registration Day. Here in Maryland, you have until October 16th to register if you haven't already. Early voting starts in 3.5 weeks on October 25th. Election Day is Tuesday, November 6th. If you've just joined us, we're talking about the future of third parties in American politics. The last minor party candidate to win a national election was a guy you've heard of, Abraham Lincoln. In 1860, his Republican Party, which had broken with the Whig Party a few years earlier, carried the day in a four-way race. He didn't win the popular vote, but Lincoln won 180 electoral college votes, which was enough to put him in the presidency. My guests today are three candidates who will be on the ballot in November. Ian Schlachman is the Green Party candidate for governor. Neil Simon is running for the United States Senate. And David Lasher is running for Congress in the 3rd District. That's currently represented by Democrat John Sarbanes. Mr. Lasher is a libertarian. Our phone number, again, a different number to call Midday and be part of our conversation than the number that you call to make a pledge in our pledge drive. And once again, thanks to everybody who's chosen to do that. But our Midday number, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle, @MiddayWYPR. And you can catch us on the WYPR Facebook page. Neil Simon, we hear a lot about partisan bickering and how terrible that is and the bifurcation of the American political system. But tell me, what's the difference between partisan bickering and forceful advocacy? I mean, when we hear Kamala Harris and Cory Booker at the Supreme Court nominee hearings for Brett Kavanaugh making, you know, forceful arguments about why Mr. Kavanaugh should not be confirmed by the United States Senate, is that bickering, or and is that is their attempt to block that nomination any different? And if so, how is it different than Mitch McConnell's decision to withhold a conversation or a vote at all on Merrick Garland?
First, I want to mention, you mentioned that the last time a non-major party candidate won a national election was Abraham Lincoln. There's plenty of precedent for independent candidates winning statewide office. And mm-hmm. we've got two independent U.S. senators today. We've got one independent U.S. governor who I think is doing a really good job in Alaska.
That's Mr. Walker in Alaska.
Bill Walker, who I've gotten to know and is a really talented leader. And also, today's U.S. Voter Registration Day, I want to point out to your listeners that when you register to vote, you do not have to register with a party. In fact, new voters are registering in record numbers with no party affiliation because of that frustration with the two parties. Now, your question about the bickering, I do think there's a difference. There's a difference between leaders who are working to find common ground so we can actually get things done versus leaders who seem much more intent on dividing us and taking every issue that we have out there, painting them black and white, denying facts that don't support their arguments, using anecdotes that do. And I think Americans are starting to see through it all. They're losing trust in our government leaders. And there is definitely a difference between bickering and working together to find common ground.
David Lasher, you want to weigh in on the partisan bickering notion?
I agree with everything Neil said. What I would add is that the difference is how often are you debating and how often are you differing from those on the other side of the aisle? And if it's 100% of the time, right? If it's always in histrionics, right? And if you're portraying the other side constantly as demons and devils and yourself as on the side of the angels, that's bickering. That's the kind of interactions that we don't need. That's the kind of over-polarization that we have today. And it's what we need to get away from with independents and third parties, in my estimation.
And Ian Schlachman, when it comes to that, voters vote not only for an individual candidate, but perhaps they are voting for a political philosophy. For example, if one votes for Ben Cardin instead of Neil Simon, they're expecting him to caucus with the Democrats. They're expecting him to vote fairly consistently with Chuck Schumer and the rest of the Democratic leadership. They're voting for that.
Yeah, I think this is a good question because, you know, I think right now what you're seeing in D.C. and also here in Maryland is just constant bickering back and forth between the two major parties and a lot of finger pointing. Right here in Baltimore, you see finger pointing around the school system. Why aren't the schools heated? Why don't the schools have air conditioning? Republicans and Democrats have passed the buck back and forth to each other with money and funds numerous times. Nothing ever gets done. Same thing on the Eastern Shore. Generations of people living in poverty down there. Nothing ever gets done. Your messaging can't just be, I'm against the other side. Your message has to be, what are you going to do if in office and for whom.
Let's go to the phones. Obasi in Baltimore, welcome to Midday. Thanks for calling.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I just wanted to say that the schools and the mass incarceration and the unemployment and all the other issues that we see throughout the state, but specifically in Baltimore City, is a direct result of the over 100 years of Democratic and Republican leadership. And I do agree that the laws, they do need to change. The laws for the ballot access need to change so it can break up the monopoly that the Democrats and Republicans have on the whole process. And I also wanted to add that the Ujima People's Progress Party, who is working to become Maryland's first Black worker-led independent electoral party for social and economic justice, is also attempting to get on the ballot. And I believe, as one of your panelists said, it's a lot harder for independent parties to get on the ballot because it's expensive. And these other two parties have a, they kind of have an advantage because of the money and things.
But, and, sir, have you been out collecting signatures? Are you trying to get to the 10,000 signature threshold?
Yes, sir. We've made two attempts, actually. And we finally came to the conclusion, like I believe one of your panelists said, that we tried to do it ourselves, but it's definitely difficult to do it ourselves when you, when you're not dependent on big business for funds and things like that. We have to do our own fundraising as such. So if the people need more choices and they want more choices and entitled to more choices, the ballot access laws need to change.
All right. Well, thanks for that call. James on Facebook gives an amen to that, Obasi. He says the electoral system must change to allow for multiple parties to compete. Neil Simon, the model for more than two political parties certainly is in place in a number of other democracies. Mm-hmm.
It is. And I think Obasi's point is correct that the parties make it very difficult to get that ballot access. And in this day and age, you should be able to do that electronically. They require instead paper signatures with birth dates in a day and age when people are afraid of voter, of identity theft. So it is unnecessarily difficult. Obasi, I wanted to make another point to him, which is that I spent 2 hours this morning at the Zion Baptist Church here in East Baltimore and at a program called Turnaround Tuesdays. And what it's all about
is— It's run
by
Bill. Baltimoreans United in Leadership Development.
Exactly. An unbelievable program. I had met Pastor Prentice, the pastor in the church, a few weeks ago through a good friend of mine who grew up going to that church. And he described the program, and I was interested in it, so I wanted to come back and see it in action. And first of all, there were about 100 people there. The way Pastor Prentice had described it to me, I thought there were going to be 6 or 8 people. He was so humble in his description. But it's a terrific program where they're working with the unemployed and trying to get them back into the workforce. And we need that. I believe this country needs to be a place where people can get a good job, can work hard, can do
well. So a program like
that,
is that deserving of federal support then, federal funding?
It might be. I don't know where they get their funding today. I think it's mainly a privately funded program, but if it's eligible for it, it certainly might be. Mm-hmm. Anything that we can do to help Marylanders get ahead, help them get good jobs, prepare them for good jobs, attract new jobs, I'm in favor of.
Yeah, Ian Schlachman and David Lasher, let me mention that an awful lot of people think a vote for a third party is a spoiler vote, can be a spoiler vote. In 2016, the third party candidates, Gary Johnson as a Libertarian and Jill Stein, got more than 268,000 votes in Florida. And Trump, of course, beat Clinton by less than 129,000 votes in Florida. If those votes had not been dispersed among Dr. Stein and Mr. Johnson, perhaps Hillary Clinton would have carried Florida and we'd have a different outcome. The Green Party candidate Ralph Nader in 2000 got almost 100,000 votes in Florida, in that very state. Democrat Al Gore lost that election in Florida, at least the last time the dust settled, by 537 votes. We could have had an historic shift had Al Gore been the president or had Hillary Clinton been the president. David Lasher, what do you say to those folks who say it is, again, wasting a vote? Again, it's the difference between a chess move and a valentine.
If we only have two parties, then maybe it can be conceived as wasting a vote. But the point is that having another choice is exercising freedom. We need more parties so that the parties can represent sets of ideas that people can align with, and then they can support the agendas that they think are going to make our community, our country better.
Ian Slackman, there is a progressive Democrat running against the incumbent, Larry Hogan. Right. If people vote for Ian Slackman, that's a vote most people would say that is a vote that otherwise would have gone to Ben Jealous, who, if the polls are to be believed, at this point needs every vote he can get.
Yeah, well, in our race, I think that's a sort of a ridiculous argument. We're clearly going after a different group of people than either the Ben Jealous campaign or the Larry Hogan campaign. I think I made that pretty clear. We're going after low-income voters, new voters. We're going after working-class people. But we also, I want to say that the whole spoiler argument is ridiculous because I think we all know that Bernie Sanders supporter, who we were surprised was a Bernie Sanders supporter, that then switched over to Trump. And when I've talked to these people, we all know someone like this. We've got someone in our family or something down the road that we've talked to. You know, they say, well, I didn't know about Jill Stein, or I didn't know about Gary Johnson, or maybe I just didn't think my vote was going to be effective for them, so I voted for Trump because he was a maverick. I mean, this method of voting is ridiculous as it is right now. And I think for every Democrat to say every vote for a third party candidate could go to my candidate is exactly what the problem is. You know, I want to give a shout out to Eugene's People Progress Party. I know their struggle, and they're trying to do it right within the framework. They're trying to get one candidate on the ballot in their neighborhood in Baltimore City. And it just, they're realizing that you can't do it that way because the state laws are designed to make it so you have to have a statewide effort. And so the laws are slated against candidates that are trying to do the right thing from the bottom up. I've ran for city council. I know how difficult it is even there. So you've got to comprehensively look at the laws and changing it. Do instant runoff voting. We have to change the system and the way it is entirely.
All right.
We're not a functional democracy.
And unfortunately, we've got to call it quits to this wonderful conversation. That's all the time we have. But I'm very grateful to all three of you for coming in. We wish you best as the campaign continues for these last 6 weeks. This has been another in our series of conversations with the candidates. We've been speaking about third parties with three candidates who are on the ballot in November. Neil Simon is an independent running for the U.S. Senate seat now held by Democrat Ben Cardin. There are others on the ballot as well as the Republican nominee Tony Campbell. David Lasher is a Libertarian. He's running for the House of Representatives in the 3rd Congressional District. That district is currently represented by Democrat John Sarbanes. The Republican in that race is Charles Anthony. There are others as well. Ian Schlachman is the Green Party candidate for governor. Republican Larry Hogan, of course, is the incumbent, and Ben Jealous is the Democrat in that race. You can come to our website, wypr.org/midday, for a complete list of all the candidates in all the races. That is it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, Fox News analyst Juan Williams joins me to discuss his latest book. It's called What the Hell Do You Have to Lose? Trump's War on Civil Rights. Juan Williams joins me tomorrow on Midday. We want to thank Joe Squared for providing lunch today. Joe Squared serves coal-fired pizzas, risotto, and local craft beers. Locations and hours at joesquared.com. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening, and thanks for everybody who has made a contribution in this year's or this...